As a market analyst, one of the most common questions people in my profession get is where people can put their money. Unlike other brokers and financial consultants, I don't get paid based on what you buy, so I have no vested interest in telling you to buy and hold. Investors found out the hard way buy and hold doesn't work. It never could. The Dow was at 11,750 or thereabouts in the year 2000. Now it's 2009, and it's at 9,200. That's about 25% lower. If you count inflation into your stock losses, the average investor is down 35% or more. Most portfolios I see are down much more than that. If 9 years isn't enough buy and hold time, I don't know what is. I always say I don't know how much long I have left in my term. Holding a basket of mutual funds, contrary to common belief, is really not diversified. If it was, how come all the portfolios I see, which hold mutual funds, have been decimated? If holding a basket of mutual funds was diversified, you would think I would see some portfolios up in the last market downturn, yet I did not. Most, if not all, were down, and down by a lot. The truth is, you can hold one mutual fund or 100, but when stock markets go down, most mutual funds follow. Indeed, I often recommend to investors who pay advisors to select a basket of mutual funds to just go out and buy one fund yourself, the Russell 5000 Index. It's one of the largest basket of stocks you can own. It encompasses 5,000 stocks, just like its name. Now that's a mutual fund. And by buying this fund yourself, you won't have to pay your advisor fees and probably be more diversified anyway. But is this what you should do? Actually, being diversified means holding a lot more than stocks. After all, if all you hold is stocks, if the market goes down again, you'll be looking at losses again. If you believe a recovery is in the offing, this would be a reason for holding stocks. But I never recommend anyone just hold all stocks. There are many more ways you need to look into for true diversification. And the last market downturn should have taught you that. But is this recovery for real? Let's look at the facts. The only positive in this recovery is government spending. If it wasn't for the government spending, we wouldn't see any positive economic numbers coming out of Washington. But an economic recovery means factories are making things again, consumers are spending again, and workers are working again. But all the new spending now is not coming from working wages, it's coming from government spending. And government spending is just racking up more debt. Yes, this spending will provide a temporary boost to our economy, but it does so by only borrowing more money, encumbering more debt. The real spender in an economy is the consumer, and a true recovery can come only if he starts making money again, not borrowing it, and paying off what he owes. If spending money enabled us to climb out of debt, we should have been out of debt a long time ago. Indeed, the USA is the biggest debtor and spender in the world. But too much debt is what caused our problem in the first place. Is it logical, then, to think you can solve a debt problem with more debt? Of course not. Debt problems have to be solved by paying off debt, not encumbering more. That's why I'm sure the government stimulus will give a temporary boost to the markets and our economy. But unfortunately, it will only be temporary. Until we stop borrowing and stop trying to solve a debt problem with more debt, there will be no lasting benefit. When the money runs out, so will the recovery. And then they'll probably borrow some more. Will they ever learn up there in Washington what you and I already know, that you can't borrow your way into prosperity? If you see more stimulus coming out of Washington, then you'll know why I have my doubts. The views and opinions expressed on this newscast are opinions and my opinions only, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station. I'm Mark Cuniberti for your Money Matters Minute.